The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back, everyone, to The Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a big one, a really big name in philosophy, Jacques Derrida.
Derrida. If you've encountered his name, it probably comes with some, let's say, intimidating baggage. Deconstruction, postmodernism.
Maybe even the idea that truth isn't real. He's definitely controversial.
Hugely. And I think probably one of the most profoundly misunderstood thinkers of the last century. There are just so many caricatures out there.
Exactly. And that's really our mission for this deep dive. We want to kind of rescue him from that. We're using Simon Glendinning's fantastic work as our guide here.
Right. Glendinning helps show that deconstruction, well, it isn't about tearing everything down or saying nothing matters. It's actually deeply ethical.
Ethical. That's not the first word most people associate with Derrida.
I know. But it's constructive, too. It's focused really intensely on things like justice and responsibility. That's the core goal we want to explore.
Okay, so it's not abstract word games. Glendinning argues Derrida shows us something vital about ethical decisions.
Precisely. That making a truly just decision is this paradox. It's absolutely necessary. We have to strive for it. But theoretically, it's also impossible to achieve perfectly within a system of rules.
Impossible, but necessary. Okay, I'm hooked. That's where responsibility starts.
That's the idea. Right in that tension.
All right, let's talk about our guide then, Simon Glendinning. Who is he?
He's a distinguished professor of European philosophy at the LSE, the London School of Economics. So very well established.
And what makes his take on Derrida so useful for, you know, for us trying to grasp this?
Well, a couple of things. His specialty is continental philosophy, French and German thought. But he has this knack for clarity, real rigor. But he makes complex ideas accessible. He sort of bridges the gap.
So he can translate the really dense stuff.
Yes, exactly. And maybe even more importantly, he actually knew Derrida personally.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah?
So this isn't just an academic dissection from afar. It's informed by deep reading, of course, but also by personal respect. He sees Derrida's work as a whole, as this continuous ethical project.
Right. Not just random attacks on logic. He presents the underlying goal.
That's it. He wants to show the affirmative side.
Okay, so let's dive into Glendinning's main argument. He wants to show deconstruction is affirmative, responsible. What's the philosophical backdrop? What's Derrida pushing against?
He's tackling what Derrida famously called the metaphysics of presence. It sounds complicated, but it's basically this deep-seated assumption in Western philosophy, going all the way back to Plato.
Okay.
The idea that truth or meaning or reality itself has to be something stable, fixed, and immediately present. Like right there for us to grasp, whole and complete.
So the common sense idea that if we look hard enough, we'll find the answer, the solid truth.
Pretty much. And Glendinning highlights Derrida's core insight. That language, concepts, you know, the tools we use to grasp that truth, they have this inherent instability and undecidability, Derrida called it.
Undecidability sounds like it could lead to chaos. Like, if nothing's stable, how can anything mean anything?
But see, that's the paradox Glendinning really clarifies. For Derrida, this instability, this openness, isn't what destroys meaning. It's actually what makes meaning, and therefore ethics, possible.
How so?
Because if language wasn't flexible, adaptable, able to mean something slightly different in a new context, well, we couldn't respond ethically to unique situations. The instability allows for change, for response.
Okay, that's a twist. So the slipperiness is actually productive.
In a way, yes. Glendinning maps this out through Derrida's work on logocentrism, this concept called difference, how he takes apart binary oppositions, and then his later stuff on justice, hospitality.
So those technical bits connect to the ethical goal.
Absolutely. Glendinning shows they're all pointing towards that moment where the system, the rules, kind of break down. And that's where the ethical demand arises.
Let's get into that. The critique of logocentrism sounds like logic-centered.
Yeah, logos meaning reason, origin, presence.
Yeah.
But Derrida connects it specifically to phonocentrism.
Phono, like sound, speech.
Exactly. The traditional bias in Western thought that privileges speech over writing. Speech seems immediate, right? Authentic. The thought happening right now. Writing is seen as secondary.
Like a copy. Maybe even a distortion of the original spoken thought.
That's the traditional view. Yeah. Writing is just a supplement, potentially corrupting.
Okay, that seems intuitive. We speak, then we write it down. Why did Derrida see a problem there? Why was that hierarchy important to tackle?
Because he flips it. Glendinning explains how Derrida argues that the very possibility of speech relies on characteristics we usually associate with writing.
Go on.
For a word I speak to be understood, it has to be repeatable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Understandable even when I'm not there, when the presence of the speaker is gone.
Okay, yeah, it needs to travel.
And that ability to function in the absence of its origin, its source, that's the defining feature of writing. So if speech needs that quality to even work,
then the hierarchy collapses. Writing isn't secondary, it's kind of fundamental.
Exactly. The supposed supplement is actually the condition that makes the original possible. It destabilizes the whole idea of a pure, present origin.
Wow, okay. That definitely shakes things up.
Yeah.
And this leads us to difference, that famous, difficult term.
Yes. And Glenn Denning does a great job explaining it. It's a word, Derrida, coined to capture two meanings at once.
Mm.
To differ and to defer.
Differ and defer.
Think about meaning. A word means what it does because it's different from other words, right? Cat isn't dog or mat.
Sure. Difference creates meaning.
But how is cat defined? Usually with other words, which then need defining themselves using more words.
So you never reach a final solid definition. It's always pushing you along the chain.
Exactly. Meaning is constantly deferred. It's never fully present in any single word or sign. It relies on this whole network, this play of differences. It's always shifting.
Okay, so difference describes this constant movement, this lack of a final anchor for meaning.
That's a good way to put it. It's the inherent instability. And once you accept that instability in language itself, well, the big question becomes, how on earth do we make responsible, ethical decisions?
Right. If the ground is always shifting, how do you stand somewhere? And this is where Glenn Denning brings in the aporia of justice. This is the ethical core.
Absolutely. Derrida draws this critical distinction between law with a capital L and justice.
Law and justice, aren't they kind of the same thing?
Not for Derrida. Law is the system, the established rules, the general principles. It's calculable, repeatable. Think statutes, codes.
Okay, the rule book.
But justice.
Yeah.
Justice is the unconditional demand. It's aimed at the unique, singular case, the individual situation right in front of you. It's incalculable.
So law is general, justice is specific.
Precisely. And Glenn Denning uses the concept of aporia, which means like an impasse, a paradox, to explain the problem.
What's the paradox?
For a decision to be just, it has to conform to the law, right? It needs that foundation of rules. But if you only apply the general rule mechanically,
you might miss the unique needs of the specific situation. You become like a machine just applying code.
Exactly. You fail the singular person or case. So true justice seems to demand that you somehow drape with the general rule to respond properly to the unique case.
Wait, so you have to follow the rule but also break the rule? That sounds completely impossible.
It is impossible in a purely logical sense. That's the aporia. You can't simultaneously uphold the universal law and respond perfectly to the unique particular.
So what do we do? How can anyone ever judge anything?
And that, Glenn Denning argues, is precisely Derrida's point. That moment of impossibility, of undecidability, where the rules run out and you have no perfect calculation, that's where true responsibility begins.
Ah, so responsibility isn't about finding the right rule in the book. It's about making a decision when there is no clear rule.
It's the leap you have to take, the decision made without guarantee, that risk, that's the ethical moment.
Okay, that makes sense. It's demanding, but it makes sense. And Derrida took this logic into social areas too, like hospitality.
Yes, very much so. In later works, like The Gift of Death, he really pushes these ethical questions. Hospitality becomes a key example.
Unconditional hospitality, welcoming the stranger.
Right, but unconditionally, meaning welcoming the absolute other, the stranger, without asking them to assimilate, without demanding they fit into your categories, without expecting anything back.
That sounds, again, almost impossible in practice.
It is. It's another impossible ethical demand.
Mm-hmm.
But striving for it, thinking about it, is crucial. Glenn Denning even notes the idea Derrida puts forward. Hospitality is culture itself. It's foundational.
And he extended this kind of ethical questioning beyond humans to animals.
He did. He famously critiques what he called carnophilogocentrism.
Whoa, okay. Break that down.
Carno meat eating. Phallo-masculine privilege. Logocentrism, the privileging of reason presence we talked about. He links the domination of animals, often justified by appeals to human reason, to other forms of power and hierarchy.
So he's deconstructing the human-animal binary, questioning our right to simply use animals.
Yes, forcing us to ask, what are our ethical obligations to beings we've traditionally excluded from the sphere of justice? Who counts as a subject of ethics. It's radical stuff.
It really is. And this connects to politics, too, with this idea of democracy to come.
A venir to come. It's a crucial political concept for Derrida. He didn't see democracy as a finished system, something we achieve like ticking a box.
More like an ongoing project.
Exactly. A constant promise. A restless demand for more inclusion, more justice, especially for those who are currently excluded or marginalized by existing systems.
So it's not about achieving the perfect democracy now, but about keeping the idea of a more just future alive.
Yes, and using that idea to constantly critique the present. It ensures that political systems, even democratic ones, remain open to self-criticism and change. It keeps things moving.
It's like a built-in engine for social justice, preventing complacency.
That's a great way to put it. It keeps philosophy active, engaged in the world.
Okay, let's try and boil this down. Clendinning helps us see some key themes. First, the big one. Deconstruction is affirmation, not destruction.
Yeah, and the reflection here is crucial. It's not about nihilism, about saying nothing means anything. It's about opening up concepts, seeing the possibilities that rigid, traditional interpretations have shut down.
Like being more vigilant about our own assumptions.
Heightened vigilance, that's a good phrase for it. Doesn't give answers, but it insists we keep asking the hard questions.
Second theme. The aporia of justice and responsibility.
And the takeaway for you, the listener, is really personal. Think about those moments in life, a tough medical choice, a complex business decision, where the data is ambiguous, the rules don't give a clear answer.
Right, where you just have to decide.
That moment of uncertainty, that risk, that's where genuine ethical action lives, according to Derrida. Responsibility begins when the calculation ends.
Okay, and third theme, the logic of supplementarity.
This goes back to the speech writing thing. What seems secondary, like the copy or the add-on, often turns out to be essential for the thing it's supposedly supplementing.
So we should question our hierarchies.
Definitely. Why do we value, say, efficiency over care in certain contexts, or short-term results over long-term sustainability? The supplementary term might hold more power than we think. It makes you re-examine your basic values.
Derrida certainly gave us some memorable lines. Glendinning helps unpack them. Let's take the most famous, maybe infamous one. There is nothing outside the text. Il n'y a pas de haut texte.
Right. And people jump on this saying, see, he thinks reality doesn't exist.
But that's not it.
No. Glendinning makes it clear. It means our access to reality, our understanding of it, is always mediated. It always happens through language, context, culture, interpretation. There's no stepping outside these frameworks to get a pure, unmediated view of the world.
So text means more than just books. It means context, structure.
Exactly. The whole network of signs and interpretations that shape our experience.
Okay. Next quote, the big ethical claim. Deconstruction is justice.
This ties it all together. The philosophical work, the careful questioning, the taking apart of assumptions and hierarchies isn't just an academic game. It is the ethical work.
Why?
Because it's driven by the demand for justice, by trying to open up space for those excluded or silenced by dominant structures. The critique serves justice.
Powerful. And the last one, quite haunting. The future can only be for ghosts.
Yeah, this speaks to inheritance memory. Our relationship with the future isn't this clean slate. It's always shaped by traces of the past, traditions, legacies, unresolved issues, the ghosts of those who came before.
So our present actions carry the weight of history.
And the responsibility for those who will inherit what we leave behind. It highlights the spectral, maybe, nature of time and responsibility.
Glendinning really emphasizes the practical side, too. These aren't just theories for seminars. How can we apply this? Let's start with critical thinking. Media literacy.
Oh, hugely relevant. Derrida's focus on binary oppositions like us versus them, good versus evil, trains you to be skeptical. When you see a news story or a political argument presented in those simple terms,
you should ask, what's being left out? Who is being silenced or ignored by this simple division?
Exactly. It helps you become a much more sophisticated reader or viewer of information. You stop looking for easy answers because you know they probably hide something.
Application two, personal relationships and empathy.
This connects straight back to that idea of unconditional hospitality. Approaching others, especially in close relationships, with a kind of radical openness. Meaning, trying not to force them into your pre-existing boxes or expectations.
Right.
Really trying to encounter their uniqueness, their otherness, without demanding they conform or reciprocate in a predictable way.
Valuing the person for who they are. Not who you want them to be.
Something like that. It's a commitment to their absolute singularity.
And lastly, political engagement and that democracy to come.
It suggests a way of being politically active that is never satisfied with the status quo. It's always pushing, always advocating for those who are currently marginalized.
So not just defending the current system, but constantly asking how it can be more just, more inclusive.
Right. It challenges existing power structures from the perspective of that future promise of inclusion. It keeps the pressure on.
You know, reading Glendinning's take, what really struck me was her this idea of impossibility, like impossible justice, impossible hospitality isn't a negative thing.
What do you mean?
It's almost like their impossibility is what makes them powerful. Yeah. Because we can never fully achieve them, we always have to keep striving, keep thinking, keep acting ethically. The lack of a final answer is what keeps the ethical engine running.
That's a fantastic insight. Yeah. The impossibility is productive. It demands courage.
And I guess that's the final lesson Glendinning leaves us with, right? For you, the listener.
I think so. That real responsibility, real ethical thought, it doesn't happen when the path is clear and the rules are obvious. It happens in the ambiguity.
When you face the undecidable.
Exactly. And embracing that complexity, having the courage to make a decision anyway without guarantees.
Yeah.
That's what genuine thinking and genuine ethical living requires. It's a call to stay vigilant and maybe a bit brave.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.